The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Bass. Every single Friday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., Karen Rose is here live inside the digital world. I'm live all the way in Bangkok, Thailand. It is currently 1:20 in the morning. This is not my graveyard shift, but you know what? I enjoy doing it. And we had to bring our guests all the way from Yacht. Listen, let me tell you something right now. There's a new Jamaican spot that opened up, Junior. Let me tell you, they have me hooked. They're making some nice, fresh, from scratch patties. They don't have no cocoa bread. I had to message them and be like, yo, you need to add some cocoa bread to the lineup right now because the patties are saying things. I got some sorrel from them. Listen, I'm living good, you know. Listen, the Jamaicans are treating me right outside in Thailand. But, you know, we got to get our trinis out here because I want my little curry. I want my little roti. I want doubles. I want my Trini goods. The Jamaicans are holding me down, though. So anyways, let's head all the way to Jamaica where we got our boy Junior Gilpin back on the show. And today we're going to be diving into a threat that too many companies overlook, and that is the lack of proper employee training and awareness in cybersecurity. And in the digital age, your biggest vulnerability isn't just the outside hackers. It's actually your own staff. So from phishing emails to weak passwords to social engineering traps, employees often become the entry point for cyber attacks. And most of the time, it's not because they're careless. It's because they've never been trained. So we're going to be unpacking that today with Junior Gilpin, who is a certified data protection officer, a senior cybersecurity engineer at 800 Tech, and the director of education at the ISC Caribbean chapter. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. He's no stranger at this point. Junior, all the way from Jamaica. Junior, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. You know, it's okay here. We got good weather and, you know, got some of the good food that you're talking about over there in Thailand. So we actually have the authentic stuff here in Jamaica. So, you know, we're living the good life, I guess.
Listen to me. I'm just happy to have a taste. Because when you want to taste a home, and this is one of the things that I've told one of the Jamaican restaurants here, I'm like, this is the best Jamaican food I've eaten outside of Jamaica. It doesn't come close to what happens in Jamaica because it's a whole process. It's just different, right? It's just different. However, outside of Jamaica, I'm like, dog, you guys are making some amazing food. So I give you credit for being the best outside of Jamaica. But, you know, like I said, I'm just happy to have a little taste.
Definitely.
You know? So, Junior, today is a very important topic. And when we're thinking about, you know, we've over the past 3 years at this point, we've had a lot of cyber attacks, we've had a lot of data breaches, and we've had a lot of data dumps. AI tools are getting more and more sophisticated. So what we could have done with information 2-3 years ago with ChatGPT, we could do a whole lot more stuff today than ever before. So when we're talking about phishing and social engineering and companies getting hacked predominantly through the employees, this is a major, major topic. So let's start off with this. Why are employees often considered the weakest link in cybersecurity?
All right. So just to piggyback on our last session where we spoke about some of the insider threats and some of the insider risk, right? So you have employees working for an organization that is not aware of some of the current threats that are out there, right? So it makes it a bit easier for me to manipulate another employee to get certain things done. Also allows for what you call it, coercion between employees trying to whether defraud or carry out malicious activities. So at the end of the day, it is best to try to educate all the employees on some of the growing threats that are out there. This way, they cannot be manipulated by any external force or even other co-workers that have malicious intent. Because one of the things that we were seeing a lot of last year and the year before were persons literally buying credentials. So you have an employee and he's saying that, okay, I have VPN access, and somebody just approached him online, hey, we need to get a file from your organization, but we don't want anyone to know. Could you give us your access and we'll pay you for it? Now, if you don't know that that's a breach, then you're probably just thinking about making some quick cash, and then you find yourself in a really difficult spot.
That's actually very important. That's some very important stuff that you brought up. The average person doesn't realize that a lot of the companies have been attacked. There has been some data siphoned off, and they haven't realized that their credentials for the organization are being sold online. We had a cybersecurity specialist, I think maybe it had to be like a year and a half ago. And one of the things that he did, because I was still in Trinidad, so one of the things that he did when he came in, right, was he had a particular watch, and that watch was able to scan the Wi-Fi for the passwords and the logins. So he actually showed us real-time hacking that he was able to capture credentials off of the Wi-Fi. But then he also showed us a report of credentials from organizations being sold in the dark web that, again, we would have never even have thought about, right? Because, again, you know, a lot of times across the Caribbean, companies will think, I'm too small to get hacked. We're not big enough. We're not doing anything important. But there, the data is where your credentials are being sold online. So when credentials get sold online, right, what are some of the, and I really want you to kind of drive this point home. When your credentials are sold online and a nefarious actor has now purchased these credentials, what are some of the things that can happen to an organization when a threat actor has purchased your, you've been hacked, credentials have been sold online, and the wrong person has now gained access to your company through these purchased credentials? What are some of the things that they could do?
All right. So let's break it down on a case by case. So let's say, for example, I'm in IT. I have administrative access to a lot of systems, right? Now, a lot of systems are interconnected to a lot of systems, and your credential is used to authenticate across multiple systems. Now, someone buys that credential, for example, let's say I buy it from the payroll administrator or the accountant. I can basically log in. Let's say you're using Great Plains as your accounting software. I could easily well log into GP, set up some, we call it now, accounts, and do a lot of transaction, because now I would have admin privilege to basically execute a lot of stuff. So it's really serious based on what credentials have been exposed. Because, for example, IT guys, that one is devastating, because I know that once you get an IT credential, you literally have full access to the system to do whatever you want based on whatever privilege that individual would have gotten. You have cases where, as I said, you have persons working in sales, persons working in marketing, and these persons sell their credential. Now, for example, your marketing strategy for 2025 was just sold to a competitor because you gave them credentials. Precisely. So you gave them credentials to marketing, and they access the SharePoint sites, download all your marketing data, your strategy for next year. So you find out that your competitor has started rolling out your products before you even get the chance to develop them. Very serious, because I think corporate espionage is one of the main reasons why we see a lot of credentials being sold on the dark web, because a lot of times it doesn't have to be a malicious actor. It can be a simple competitor just buying that set of credentials, because as I said, information is king. So everybody is trying to get what they can get their hands on, and the fact that money is involved makes it even more motivated. Exactly. So you find out that persons are more motivated to go after getting the money. So it's a very serious issue that we're facing, and that is why one of the things that we did is basically integrate security awareness training into the security program that we were offering most of our clients. So basically, once a staff is being onboarded, we try to make it mandatory for them to complete certain aspects of the training to help safeguard the organization. Because at the end of the day, this, while it safeguards the organization, it also helps safeguards the employee also, because if your credential was used in, let's say, a malicious attempt and the forensic guys come in and realize that your credential was used, that's some serious jail time, I would. So at the same time, it's protecting both employee and the organization.
Well, you know, you made a point, and I'm actually surprised. I never even, it didn't even occur to me. When we think about credentials being sold or companies being hacked, the first thing that we typically would think of is denial of service, ransomware, or, you know, they just come in and just destroy your stuff, put a virus in and destroy your stuff. It didn't even occur to me that the person might not even do anything to your company. They might just go in and teeth your marketing strategy.
Yeah, but that's the thing, and that's something that Schofield and I, we've been doing a lot of research over the past few months, and we're realizing that a lot of these organizations that get hacked, they don't know, because at the end of the day, somebody go in, pull your marketing strategy, pull your database with all your customers, because I need some new leads, I need some new customers to call, so I just, you know, buy some credentials, basically pull your entire customer database and start targeting your customers. Unless somebody reports it, you will not know. If your IT team isn't monitoring certain things, they will not know. If there isn't certain security control in place, for example, logging in from certain location is being barred, or for example, you set up, you know, additional security measures, you will know that these credentials have been stolen, because they are being used like the staff is just logging in and doing their daily job. When it is, it's a malicious actor. So a lot of the time, the ransomware may give you, you know, an encryption screen, which is what we are used to. But in most cases, when there is no...
They're not doing that.
Precisely.
They're lurking.
Yeah, so we do not know. And these are advanced persistent threats that are very common, because at the end of the day, you didn't know that you were breached, but then there's a dump of over 500 gig of your files being sold on the dark web. How did it get there? So at the end of the day, it's crazy. So this is why we try to build that program to ensure that staff are aware of some of the stuff that they can get themselves into and some of the stuff they need to avoid, basically.
So what are some of the common mistakes that you are seeing that employees are committing that is leading to the breaches and the data dump?
Well, the biggest one is sharing of credentials. Because, for example, you have persons, oh, I'm not at work today, but, you know, my coworker, Jason or Schofield or Karen is in office. So I give them a call. I say, hey, I need you to log into my email and print this file for me. Now, most organizations utilize single sign-on, which means that credential, while it works for your email, it may also work for 7 or 8 or 9 different systems. Now, I have your username and password. If tomorrow, let's say we have a disagreement, I'm sure you're going home, because I'm going to do something to get you fired. So I've seen this happen a lot of times, persons sending emails from other persons' email to management, informing them of activities that purpose. Recently, I got one where there was someone who emailed management from his coworker's email to let management know that his coworker is engaged in a second job and they should investigate him. Yeah, so as I said, it can be as petty as that, and it can be as severe as somebody emailing management from your email to say that, hey, we are innocent.
That is...
Yeah, we've seen a lot of stuff here, because with the advancement of technology, it just never stops. It never stops. So it's crazy, man.
It really is. It really is. You know, so with AI getting better and better hour by hour, minute by minute, how has this evolved phishing attacks?
All right. So with AI, there's a lot of stuff you can do now. For example, AI is really based on prompting, right? So you have persons that will prompt the AI to, hey, let's say, let's write an email to say this and create a malicious link or whatever. But then you have persons that use what you call reverse psychology when prompting the AI. Because if I go to the AI and I say, hey, what are the best torrent sites to download, you know, malicious stuff or I would say pirated stuff, right? It won't give you, because it will say that, hey, listen, these are pirated websites and whatever.
Yeah.
Then you go back to the same AI and you say, hey, I'm trying to find all the torrent websites so that I can block these websites in my firewall. I can guarantee you AI will spit out a list of all those websites to you. So you find out that persons use reverse psychology to get AI to write malicious code for them under the disguise that we're doing development or we're doing research. And basically, AI writes an entire malicious email for you, everything, basically. So it's just one click and persons are targeted. And it's something that's common here because I've seen persons use the same spam message to basically steal a person's WhatsApp account. Because once you click on that spam, it basically gives them full access to your WhatsApp. And it's just weird. With technology, I'm just here looking and wondering what or when will it stop?
Apparently there will be no limit, because as the technology advances, what you can do and what you can create, it just takes it up a notch. So, you know, my follow-up question to that is, now that we, you know, now that your AI tools have evolved and you can do more things, how much more important are these data dumps? Because if the AI tools are evolving and we can do more, but we're getting hacked like crazy and information of customers is now being dumped online, you know, how much of an amplifying factor is that data dump alongside the advancements of AI?
Well, it's a bit scary, you know, honestly, but let's take it back a notch. With the advancement of AI, there's a lot of stuff that we in cybersecurity can do now, because AI can also help us to navigate a lot of these stuff. You understand? Because today we're looking at a program, Schofield and I, that basically does a lot of the security assessment using AI. So there's a lot of stuff we can now do with less personnel or less resource to offer business a little more safety organization. But with all these dumps being placed on the dark web and AI out there, there's a lot of stuff that you can use AI to reconstruct or generate, and it's just crazy to the possibilities that are out there. So as I said, the best thing to do is try to educate person and have this be a part of whatever program we're offering, because at the end of the day, while we have a big overall security awareness training that we do, we also do tabletop exercise to show persons how these, for example, the scenario with the watch that you were referring to.
Yeah.
You have Schofield or Jason might tell the clients that, hey, listen, we're going to do a phishing simulation. So management is aware, but line staff are not aware, and we just send them some phishing email to see who will click on it. And then based on that, we know that, hey, we have a problem, because if 400 of our 500 staff is clicking it, that's a problem. So around that now, we create a just-in-time security awareness training specifically for spamming. So we just have to treat with it as it comes along, because every day there is a new way to get around the system. There is a new way to, it's just crazy.
I could imagine. I mean, I, the reason I'm asking these questions is because I want people to understand the depths of what can happen, right? People need to understand that, you know, clicking it's not a harmful link, but there's so many risks that we need to be aware of now, because the damages that can be done are far-reaching. And I think a lot of times we don't put enough emphasis on just good cyber hygiene, just because you don't really see the effects. It's a link. What's a link? Right? What's an email? You know, okay, because even with the data dumps, right? And this is what scares me. Even with all the data dumps that are happening, Caribbean, like in the U.S. and Canada and Europe, like these are things that people are damn near ready to riot for. But for us Caribbean wide, it's like, oh, wow, this company got hacked. 500 gigs of our data, our driver's license, passport, that's all leaked online. All right, so what? What can they do with it?
But that's the thing, you know, and most persons don't even realize, because as I was saying earlier, there's a lot of stuff you can re-engineer using that data. So, for example, the system got hacked and all your personal data is out there, right? Now your name, date of birth, your tax number, your social security number, all of that is out there. And I decide that, hey, I'm going to be malicious. So what I do is I use your identity to create probably like 3, 4, 5 credit cards in your name, and then I just start using them, because identity theft is a thing, you know, and persons are behaving like that's not a thing. So you find out that you're getting a mail from the bank to say that you're outstanding $50,000, but you're saying that I don't have any arrangement with this bank. Oh, yes, you do, because I made sure you had an arrangement with them. So you're going to have to pay the bill. So I don't know. It's crazy, man. Even on the same level, you look at business email compromise. That's a thing that's common across the region. And this is all because of spamming and phishing and all of that stuff. Persons don't really spend the time to look or read through emails. You get an email, oh, it's coming from Junior, and Junior is in IT. But it's not coming from Junior Gilpin. If you add check properly, it's spelled different. So it's a lot, man. But as I said, we just try to treat with some of the stuff as they come along. But for the stuff that we are aware of, we try to do a program around those threats.
Now, we hear the term social engineering a lot, right? But for to the average person, it's just a buzzword. So explain to us, what is social engineering, and, you know, why it is so effective on unsuspecting staff?
All right, so social engineering, because, you know, you mentioned a great point, because I was going to mention something about social media earlier, and social engineering kind of touch on that. So you find out that a lot of persons are concerned about privacy, right? But then at the end of the day, they post everything they do on social media. Now, right. I know a lot of the stuff about you from social media, right?
Yeah.
Now, all I need to do now is know where you work. All right, based on where you work with social engineering, I can probably question you, find out what's your role in the organization, what are some of the tasks you carry out and stuff like that, asking you about leadership, management, whatever. And from that, because one of the things that I said to a lot of people, you get an email from Karen, right? And it's it's karen.rose@freedom106. Let's say that's your email. When I do social engineering and you give me the name of all of top management, I can easily send top management some phishing emails, because I already know the naming convention that you guys use for your email. So I can use their name, generate their email address, and then send them some phishing email, which is what they call it, spear phishing, basically targeting the heavyweights like the CEO and all of those persons. All right, social engineering even go as far as me trying to generate passwords for your accounts based on information that you have given me. For example, data birth, favorite pets. And remember, these are some of the security questions that you will use on a lot of the platforms that you sign up to. What's your mother's maiden name? Oh, that's Gilpin, because it's all over social media, so I can guess that. So persons are not aware of some of the significance behind social engineering, because for me, I was good at that when I started out, because I realized persons in IT, I'm not going to say it's an ego, but I think knowledge these guys have, they feel like they're probably on the top of Mount Rushmore. So, you know, I go in and I ask some questions, and the best way to get these answers from some of the IT guys is to challenge their egos. So I'd be like, oh, but you're in IT, but I don't think you do any network configuration. I was like, oh, who tell you that? I'm the network engineer. I do all the configuration. Okay, so your account is the admin account. And then from there, I move on to getting more information. So it's a technique that can get you a lot of information that you need to infiltrate an organization. And it isn't limited to just cyber security, we have physical security also, and information security, which is paper. For example, I might ask you, so you guys shred all the documents that you print? You say, no, we just archive the documents. Okay, I need to know where the archive is. So as I said, there's a lot of stuff that red team guys will do during the social engineering process to get the information, to know where the information that is most valuable is stored.
You know, I'm listening to you talk and I'm thinking to myself, you understand how to get information out of people and how to do social engineering. Now you add in the fact that we post damn near everything online, even if it's small details, right? We post a lot of stuff online. And I think now with AI having the web capabilities to go and scrape the internet, the fact that you can literally say, because I mean, we do this for regular things. Hey, we're interviewing Junior Gilpin. Search the web, pull everything you can on him, create whatever you need, and you have an entire document on Junior, on Junior's entire life.
Yep. That's how easy it is these days. But as I said, persons aren't aware of the implications behind our actions. So we find out that these actions become like second nature. So we do them every day without even being aware of the consequences.
Now, and this is a big one, how big of a role do weak passwords or reused passwords, how big of a role do they play when it comes to data breaches today?
All right. So for ransomware and most of the advanced persistent threats that I am aware of are usually through either the reusing of passwords or weak passwords. Because, for example, weak passwords are like passwords that you can run an algorithm to crack in a few minutes if it's weak. And then based on the characters that you chose, it might be even a password that's in a dictionary. So I can pull up my Kali Linux and do a dictionary attack against your account. And in a few minutes, or probably a few seconds, because my computer is really fast. So in a few seconds, I get back your password that matches your username. So I always tell people, because there's application out there that can do, there's a lot of application that can get the job done. So I always tell persons, try make your password as complex and as long as possible. And even for the IT guys, what we do is we set a password policy within our application. So that forces you now to create a strong password, because it will not accept a password that can be cracked by a dictionary. So,
right.
Yeah, man. So as I said,
so let's break this down a bit. Let's break this down a bit further, because this is a big one, right? So what is a weak password? What is characterized as a weak password?
All right. So for me, a weak password is a password with just simply, like, for example, all lowercase letters or all uppercase letters, or even a mix of uppercase and lowercase, or a word or a phrase that somebody can guess easily. So anything that is probably shorter than 8 characters and just letters are just numbers, those are the ones that are usually easily cracked. Now, when you make your password more complex by adding like alphanumeric characters and then adding symbols, for example, like @ or a hashtag sign or a question sign, even a percentage sign, even the space bar. The space is also, because one of the things is no password with a space has ever been cracked by a dictionary before, because the dictionary does not use space when they're doing, so it's kind of hard to crack a password with a space in it. So I usually tell persons, try and make your password as complex as possible by adding these special characters within the password.
Now, the biggest pushback I'm sure you're always going to get is, but Junior, I can't remember these things, man. Let me just go and pay for LastPass and put all my passwords in LastPass and hope LastPass don't get cracked.
We get that every day, man. So persons are usually complaining that, oh man, like every day I get notification that my password is expiring. Why do you guys have to use this short time frame? But I'm saying, if it is that your account is being compromised or it is already compromised, right? the fact that your password will change in the next 30 days. Let's say the threat actor didn't do anything with your account and you change your password. Automatically, they lose access to your account because of the change. So this is why we have to enforce password changing on a regular basis. So even if it is compromised, once the password changes, then they lose access.
Now, that's a very good point. And like for Chrome, I don't know if the other browsers do this, but Chrome has done a decent job where Chrome will send you a notification that says, hey, your password may have been compromised on this particular website and whatnot. And again, it's you're seeing some of these websites and you're like, I've never been there before. What the heck is going on? But it for me, in seeing that, it's a reminder that you might not even have to do too much and your passwords are being compromised on random websites you may or may never have gone to. But the fact that you're even getting those notifications should tell you that.
Yeah, it could be a case where somebody used your credential to create an account on that website also, but based on your email, because you would have synced your email signing in Chrome. So Chrome is telling you that, hey, your email address that's associated with that account on that website is either weak or has been compromised in a recent breach. So at the end of the day, we don't know where the breach came from. We just know that the information was found on a random website and we need to change the password. So some of the times, this is what we're talking about, where organizations get compromised and nobody really knows.
Now, in Trinidad, I'm sure you guys are in Jamaica probably a bit more ahead, but there's going to be a push for work from home policy and getting more of government workers to work from home, and whatever companies on their own in the private sector can implement work from home policies. We're probably going to see that a lot more this year and moving forward in general. But how can remote work or hybrid work environments increase the risk of staff if they are not properly trained?
All right, so I know of organizations within Trinidad that offers the hybrid situation where you work from home a few days and you come in for work a few days, and it's really serious, because we had a client that we literally had to call in, tell him, listen, call in all your staff and let them know that we're going to have a meeting to go through the security policy and also do security awareness training, because at the end of the day, the staff that is not aware of the policy will breach the policy. You understand? We have to let them know that based on organizational best practice or the acceptable use policy, these are the things that you can do with the company's device. These are the things that you cannot do. So it's a case where we know it's going to happen, but we just have to find ways to get them involved, because the untrained staff is definitely a problem, because that person is at home and listen, I need to go use the bathroom. I just leave my system open. Now family members and friends are around. My system is right there. Somebody takes it up, log into a website that I'm not supposed to even using from a work computer or accessing from a work computer. And then boom, we get compromised. So we have to inform them of all of these things so that they can help safeguard themselves and the organization.
Is there some common scenarios that, when it comes to work for people that work from home, are there some common scenarios that you are seeing where people are getting compromised? Like you just named one just now with people just coming in and accessing your computer. Are there any other common mistakes? Because again, we're going to see a lot more companies start to push work from home, but they don't always know what risks that they need to look out for. You know, so what are some other common ones when it comes to when you're dealing with people that work from home?
Okay. All right. So one of the most are some of the common risks that we would have seen are, as I said, persons using devices for personal stuff. You have persons literally running their personal business on company's device. We have social media policies in organization where persons are posting stuff on are utilizing the company's device to post stuff on their media platform, which is against company policy. We have cases where, as I said, persons selling their credentials to the best bidder, the highest bidder. There's a lot of cases where, as I said, some of them are too, you know, far gone to even remember. But I can remember during COVID, there was a lot that we had to deal with and navigate all of the nuances that came with working from home. But I think we're at a position now where a lot of persons are aware of some of these threats because, as I said, here, the banks, financial institution, government organization, the medias, everybody is pushing to let them know that, listen, we will not call you and ask you for any information. We will not. There's a lot of stuff there. They are doing a lot of advertisement to basically push awareness right across because it was really getting out of hand, even in cases where persons working for banks, you know, leave their system and somebody went and did some transaction on their behalf, basically, because you left the system open with full access to about $2 billion. And I'm looking at $2 billion and saying that's a lot of zeros. So I wonder if I can transfer some to Karen because we might be able to buy 2 new cars next year. So there's a lot of stuff because even with contact center, I saw contact center persons working from home, persons literally using their system to do a refund to their account. Because they would have been working for like the Amazon and the Fashion Nova and all of those big clients that do sales. So it all depends on the organization. So I guess some organizations come with more risk than others based on the nature of your job.
I have 2 final questions before we wrap up today. How can organizations measure whether or not their training programs are actually working? And I think you kind of alluded that to it.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying. So
how do organizations know? Yeah.
So after they do the training, I think the tabletop exercise would basically confirm whether or not persons are taking their training serious or not. Because I've seen situations where we did the training, it was completed. All right, tomorrow we're doing an exercise and persons literally failed. So you do the training like 2 days ago and all of that knowledge just... But then a lot of the time, some of these trainings are too technical for the average user. So that is why the programs that we do, we usually have one of our guys as the intermediary to basically break down most of these terms into layman terms so the average user can understand. So that's what we do with our security program because even me, every month, Jason send me a different security awareness training. And listen, I'm the security guy. So that says a lot. That says a lot. So what can
now,
we do?
My final question for you is what is one change that any business could make today to strengthen their employee cybersecurity awareness?
All right, one change. So for me, I think that the first step would be, I think, getting a qualified vendor to perform this training for you. And I know there's a lot of guys in your area that in Trinidad that does these service. Schofield 800 Tech offer the same service also. So I would say reach out to a managed service provider if you don't have a dedicated IT team, because what this will do is, let's say they're doing an audit, it will not just be around your security program, but around security awareness and everything that's security related. So now we can decide what and what areas we need to train persons on, because if we just go in and give training without context of the organization or what it is that they do, then we're just basically splashing paint on a piece of paper and hoping that it stick, which is not what we then try to understand the organization. And then, you know, have Jason Taylor make some training program or whatever for the organization.
No, perfect. And again, this is as the Caribbean continues to digitize, these are the types of things that we need to take into consideration. Just like when you have a brick and mortar, you're thinking about security, you're thinking about securing your assets, protecting it. As you start to digitize your business, you need to start thinking about the online threats. You need to start preparing your staff because they're usually the way, the number one way into to coming into your organization and getting your organization compromised. So these are some of the things that you definitely got to be thinking about. Junior, where can people find you, and also where can they learn more about 800 Tech?
All right, so they can visit the organization's website, which is 800tech.com. They can also reach out to us at 223-8324. For me, you know, I'm based in Jamaica, so if you want to get to me physically, you'd have to reach out to Schofield or Nadia and have them reach out to me, and we do what we need to do. So, yeah, persons can reach out to them.
And let people know your LinkedIn, and people just want to follow you and keep up with the journey, because you know what too, right? Cybersecurity specialist is a field that we need a lot more people to get involved with, because we're understaffed Caribbean wide. And the fact that, you know, people are like, because people ask me all the time, you know, how do we get into cybersecurity? Who are the people to follow in cybersecurity, right, so that we can see? So, you know?
Yeah, yeah, so for me,
what's your LinkedIn?
No, man, you know, all right. So the chapter is what we use, because currently we have like,
okay, probably, yeah,
400 members from Trinidad that we're currently upskilling to be cybersecurity specialists. So if a person is interested in becoming a cybersecurity specialist, they can actually join the chapter where myself and Anthony and a lot of experienced guys volunteer to help them, bring them up to speed. So they can, once you're connected with the chapter, you're going to always find the avenue back to me, because most persons will point you to me because I'm the director of education. So, so yeah, there's a lot of ways to get to me and to find.
And so the information as to where we go to join the chapter, give us the information.
All right. So I'm not sure. I don't have it off the back of my head, but I think once you go on LinkedIn and you search for ISE2 Caribbean chapter, it will come up.
Perfect.
Link is inside to apply to become a member of the chapter also.
Perfect. Junior, as always, a pleasure chatting with you and getting our daily dose of cybersecurity strategies so that we can be safe and have some good cyber hygiene as we navigate these digital waters. Thank you, Junior.
Not a problem. Always a pleasure to be here, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our program for today. My name is Karen Rose. Again, every single Friday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., the digital world is on Freedom 106.5, and I hope you enjoyed today's program. I look forward to talking to you again next week. It is good night for me, 2 o'clock in the morning here in Thailand. I'm going in my bed.
Yeah, man, get some sleep. Get some sleep. Get some rest, man.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.